on air, online, and on demand.
Critical parts of our financial system are working against recovery.
People are mad as hell.
So much for the promise of change.
News Talk 790, KNST.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back. You're listening to Jacobs on the Law here on News Talk 790 KNST, and we are exploring the secrets of the law here south of the Gila River. I'm your host, Henry Jacobs. I'm an attorney here in practice here in Tucson, Arizona, and I'll be presenting this show every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock right here on this radio station. So keep those calls coming. Our number here in the studio is 880-KNST. That's 880-5678. Now, remember, folks, that you can give us a call in the office at 300-4113. That's 300-4113, or visit our website at jacobsonthelaw.com. That's jacobsonthelaw.com. And over at our Speedway office, which is where that phone rings, they do a whole lot of bankruptcy work and insolvency work. So if you all have questions on that topic, do give them a call over there and get in to see me as soon as you can. We had been talking for a couple of minutes about DUI law, and I'll finish with one thought on that topic. The police here in Pima County are able to draw your blood, and they're able to do so in the field. Now, folks, I will tell you absolutely straight out, I do not agree with this practice. I think it is unconstitutional, and we are pursuing various challenges to it. But I must tell you that if you are confronted with a police officer who is intent upon getting your blood, the very best thing to do is to insist to be taken to a hospital because it is safer for you to have your blood drawn there. But I must also warn you with this. In the state of Arizona, we are one of the small number of states that does permit forcible blood draws, and we would not want you to get into that situation. You must not resist the police when they are intent upon doing something in the field. That is what lawyers are for. The matter can be argued out later, but do not endanger yourself by having any type of conflict with police. That is not a conflict that you will typically win. They have a lot more troops and a lot more strength than you do. So you can always call an attorney. Give us a call the very instant that you do get free there, and we can start to help you. But definitely when you're on scene with the police, you want to do what they tell you. Now, folks, I will tell you that I do have a slight weakness for lawyer jokes. And I do have my offering for you, as I will every week. And this morning's offering comes in two parts. And the first is, what do you call 10,000 lawyers on the bottom of the ocean? A good start. But why don't the sharks bite those lawyers on the bottom of the ocean? Can you tell me that? Professional courtesy. Now, Andy's going to get a little drum roll here next week so we can play these.
We'll have one for you.
So just keep your radio tuned here to News Talk 790 KNST and give us a call on the station at 880-KNST. That's 880-5678. Now, folks, let's turn to the topic of foreclosure. I had talked to you about that a little bit earlier, and judging from the amount that my phone is ringing, there is this amazing feature of foreclosure that's been coming up recently of folks who had bought one or more houses as investment properties because the rates were so low and they were getting these wonderful deals, so they would buy two or three houses and rent them out. Well, then that investor gets into some trouble, and lo and behold, he goes into foreclosure. Well, what's he been doing with the rent? Well, he's been living off the rent and not paying the mortgages on those properties. Well, lo and behold, the properties go into foreclosure, and the poor tenants are sitting there in that property when suddenly they come to know of this. Now, understanding there's no mandatory requirement to notify them that a foreclosure proceeding is coming. And so all of a sudden, these tenants realize they're paying rent on this place. They'd planned to live there. They have a year-long lease. And this property is going to be sold in 3 weeks or 2 weeks or tomorrow. And what on earth are they to do? So the short answer on this, folks, is that it's in a residential tenancy, you can't just be thrown into the street. You're just not going to be thrown directly into the street. They are going to have to go ahead. If you don't leave voluntarily, they're going to go ahead and have to evict you, and it's going to take some time. So that's the number one thing I tell folks is don't panic. It's not going to be tomorrow, but you do have to start planning. And the plans that you make depend on the situation that you're in. So it would be very important for you to give us a call at 300-4113. That's 300-4113, so we could address your particular situation. But I'm going to add one piece of information. There is recent law, May 20th, 2009, signed by the president, which is called the Protecting Tenants at Foreclosure Act of 2009. Now, on the face of this, it's a wonderful thing. It says two things. One is, if there is a foreclosure and a tenant has a valid lease, then the new buyer does have to honor that lease. And they give some exceptions. And one is that if the person who's buying is going to live in the home. The other is that a person without a lease shall have 90 days in which to use that premises. But there's a big caveat to this law, which is that it only applies to federally related mortgages, whatever those are. And that's going to be where the lender is a federally guaranteed either VA loan or something of that nature. So, frankly, the majority of loans are not going to be covered by this particular law. But if yours is, it's very, very helpful to you. And we have a question from Lisa, who is coming back to our topic of DUI. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Hi. I just woke up and heard the show talking about my favorite conversation. I have some questions about unintentional intoxication.
Okay, well, tell me about your question. I've had those cases before.
A friend of mine going to one of these behavioral health places because that's the only place that they treat, say, depression and anxiety.
Did your friend subsequently have some
access?
Did she have some trouble with the law? Did she get stopped by the police?
After she began going to Southern Arizona Mental Health.
Well, my question is, at some point, was she driving a car?
All the time.
Uh-huh, and did she get in some trouble with the police?
Yeah.
And did they arrest her?
Changing her medicine without telling her what was going to happen.
Okay. You know what? And we do see that. Lisa, that's a wonderful question. And the question is one of involuntary or unintentional intoxication. Now, the trouble that we have here is that the inquiry of the law, whether or not a person is impaired. That is, if we are talking about a legal substance, it's whether or not they're impaired. Notice that there is no inquiry as to whether they became impaired voluntarily or involuntarily. Mm-hmm. A driver of a car in our state is expected to know whether he or she is impaired. Okay? And that's really the key to this thing. You've got to be aware. Now, there are many other things that can impair a driver. And as a matter of fact, this little old cell phone that I have, I think is a bigger menace to the public than alcohol. And folks driving up and down the street texting on these things. But that is not, at this moment, illegal. Although it could get that way in a hurry. But drivers need to know. They need to monitor themselves and know whether they're impaired. And prescription medications can do it very easily, and you would be quite guilty of the crime of DUI, even if you had a valid prescription. People bring me their prescription. I was prescribed this medication.
Yeah.
Yes, but the question is, did it impair you? Because if it did, that's where you're breaking the law, when you're driving the car and you're impaired. That's a wonderful question, Lisa. Thank you so much
for
calling.
Can I ask a further point?
Sure, go ahead. Go ahead.
I've been talking about this. It seems to be a really interesting subject right now. They were incrementally raising her dose, and she was unaware that she was intoxicated. She didn't even know. They didn't tell her what the medication was, and they didn't tell her what to expect.
Well, I'll tell you, Lisa, that also happens is that a physician will give someone some medicine and they will not, that maybe there's a package insert that they get at the pharmacy that's one of these things that's 6 feet long and 2 inches wide.
Yeah.
And it tells you all this wonderful stuff, but the patient doesn't know. Once again, we have the problem that if you are in fact impaired, and the police, of course, can be very interested in this, Did you have problems finding your driver's license? Did you stumble when you got out of the car? Did you have to use the car for support? And the police are very observant on these things. If it turns out you were impaired, the fact that your doctor didn't tell you or you didn't know, unfortunately not going to be a defense on that. So the driver does need to be aware if there is impairment. Folks need to be sure that they're safe to drive. And that,
one more question, please.
Well, all right, Lisa, we'll give you one more.
Oh, thank you. And I'm really glad that there's a show out there because I find myself that nobody really knows the law until you get into the middle of it. Is your lawyer allowed to lie to you?
Well, Lisa, I'm going to answer that question. That is a great question. No, your lawyer is not allowed to lie to you. Lawyers are not allowed to lie. And there used to be the ethical rules that govern lawyers say that they're not allowed to lie on the job, but they're gonna expand that to be that lawyers can't lie at any time. If a person has a license to practice law in this state, they are gonna be truthful. Things that come out of their mouth are gonna be truthful, or there's gonna be a big problem. And in court, we do it all the time. There's a thing called an avowal that you make to a judge. If it comes from licensed counsel, that's just about the same as a person taking an oath. If I tell a judge, yes, my client told me this, or another lawyer told me that it would be okay for this motion, that's called an avowal. And absolutely, lawyers are not allowed to lie. And if you've had a problem with a lawyer, what they tell you to do is contact the state bar and let them know about the problem. Because if there's a lawyer out there doing things that aren't right, there is accountability for us. So if we could, we're going to go ahead and talk a little bit about, we were talking previously about this landlord-tenant business, and I just wanted to wrap it up with this one thought, which is that if you find yourself in a circumstance in which you're having a problem, it is very important to get legal advice early on. It's always better because we have an act here in Arizona, which is called the Arizona Residential Landlord and Tenant Act, which governs how you and your landlord have to get along together, and it's complicated. And so often tenants have something illegal that's done to them, something improper that's done to them, the air conditioning goes out, it isn't fixed, but they don't follow the act, they don't follow the proper remedy, and so they lose rights. And it's so unnecessary because there's a great law here in Arizona designed to protect people. Now, folks, you can give us a call here in the studio with your questions at 880-KNST. That's 880-5678. And you can also give us a call in the law office tomorrow morning at 300-4113. That's 300-4113. Or visit our website at jacobsonthelaw.com. That's jacobsonthelaw.com. And the Residential Landlord Tenant Act is actually in our library. I put it there so that you folks could find it easily. And we'll talk more when we come back from break.
Program.
I mean, for the love of Pete.
Listen.
Mark it down.
Every weekday at 3.
Thank you.
On News Talk 790 KNSD.
If you have $10,000 or more,